I'm Stargate Pioneer from the official GunnaGeek.com podcast, a proud member of the GunnaGeek Network, just like the one you're listening to now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to the Audibly
Exquisite
Podcast, episode number 77. 77, kind of like Star Wars 77.
Well, yeah, exactly.
Should we call this one A New Hope?
Oh, maybe.
Or
Old Hope Reheated.
It's possible. So we are brought to you by the Gunna Geek Podcast Network. Go to www.gunnageek.com and find a plethora of geeky goodness for your ear holes. Also, go on www.patreon.com and help support the show. You're going to get a crap ton of different perks, including the ability to possibly guest host on this here fine program, along with an Audible exquisite newsletter and a custom episode of your choosing.
Whoa.
Also, go on social media at facebook.com/...
Exquisite?
Audibly exquisite.
Sorry. Oh boy, you threw me off.
Sorry about that. Also, you can find us on Twitter at the AE Podcast, myself at Peter Melnick, and also Mike is at Mike_Norin. Eddie, you're on Twitter. What are you at?
At EWilson959.
And also, you can find us on Instagram at Audibly
Exquisite.
There we go. Sorry about that. And finally, www.audiblyexquisite.com. And also, there's a wide variety of ways for you to listen to Audibly.
Exquisite.
That's going to make up for the Patreon one, because I realized I could have had you do Patreon for that one.
You're just giving me different ways to say exquisite, so there's a whole plethora of that in one word.
That's absolutely fine.
I'm up to the challenge.
It's all good. So now, also, you can listen to us on TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, and Podomatic, available for all iOS and Android devices. And also, you can find us on iTunes. Rate, review, subscribe, and share, and spread the word like Nutella. Creamy, delicious Nutella. And, yeah. So, obviously, Mike is not here in the Batcave. Oops, wrong show. That's on the Fanboys Inc. Podcast Network.
Oops.
Inside the Batcave. But I am joined today with Mr. Eddie Wilson of WVOS FM. Eddie, how you doing today?
Oh, terrific. And great for you to come to bring the show here to the basement where we love to do this show among the collection.
I like doing the show in Marvel Manor.
That's it. I forgot what you had termed it as way back when.
I was going to say exquisite, so exquisite Eddie Wilson. I think that's your new name. Like, you know, we're going to go with like a Marvel style, you know, like Happy Herb Trimpy or Jolly Jack Kirby, King Kirby. So you're exquisite Eddie Wilson. I think we're going to go with that from now on.
Do I have to pay something to the title of the show now because it's the same name?
Maybe a couple shekels here and there. We'll figure it out.
All right.
But yeah, so since our last episode, some stuff has happened in the world of geek culture and whatnot. So, Marvel. We're both big Marvel heads here. I mean, again, you know, every time I come here, I have to make the same joke. I think you like Marvel. I can kind of tell, you know?
That's just passing the words. It's passing. It's a given. It's like, yeah, okay.
Well, I mean, for crying out loud, you have the Marvel Handbook Universe posters hanging up, so, which is one of the coolest things. Every time I come here, I look at that poster, and no pun intended, Marvel at it. So
it's a big poster. That's like 25 years old. I got that in what, 1989, I think, and it was it's measures 50 by 50.
It's insane. Like I can't help but look at it. It's so freaking cool.
If you know the official handbook of the Marvel Universe, that first I think 12 issues that came out, if you opened up the covers, it makes that poster.
That's so rad.
That was $15, I guess, back in the day, sent in a longer than usual poster tube, and cost a couple of bills for to framing that, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Had to bring that home from from the frame store on the roof of the car, actually.
Oh, my gosh.
Doing about 40 miles an hour to make a 20-minute trip, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I remember it well.
So, yeah, now, speaking of Marvel, and I guess if we go with the Marvel Universe Handbook, we go with the I volume. They did it like that. It was like numerical, right? Or not numerical.
Roman numerals?
I
believe so, yes.
If we go with the I volume, there's a group in there called the Inhumans, Eddie.
The I volume. Okay, now you're going with the letter as opposed to the Roman numeral. Yeah. I got it now. All right.
I'm tired, Eddie.
That's okay.
So, yeah, you know, speaking of the letter I and Inhumans, they just announced this week that the Inhumans are actually not going to be coming to the big screen like originally planned, although they kind of will.
Kind of will?
Yeah. They basically announced that Marvel is going to be bringing the Inhumans to ABC as a 8-episode TV series.
All right. Well, that kind of makes sense in a logistical following the sequence of events since, and I'm not completely up on it, Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., you know, hinting at and having, quote, Inhuman characters throughout that. So that would be the next logical step.
Yeah.
If they're going to keep it on the small screen.
I mean, it will be making, the first episode will be making its premiere in IMAX, which it's going to be interesting seeing a show like that, yeah, with a TV budget come to the big screen. I mean, you know, I'm very apprehensive of it, to be completely honest.
Okay.
But, I mean, Eddie, what do you think? You know, are you excited to see the possibility of the Inhumans, to see Black Bolt and people like that?
I think so. It's not a title that I kept up on too much, but enough. When I guess they debuted in the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
And then maybe in some respect came into their own for a bit. They might pop in here and there, but then again, when they get transported by the dog to, you know, the dark part of the moon or something like that, then okay, where are they now? So I have in the collection to catch up on a couple of series runs of Inhumans and so on. But I think coming through the small screen and whatever the budget entails, the dollar figure, I don't know, but
it'll still be Marvel, so
it'll still be, yeah, and I think they would try to bring in like a Black Bolt character or whatever other character names are going to maybe bring in something totally new, like I guess they kind of had already on the show before the new season started with the subtitle of Ghost Rider, which I do unfortunately have to catch up with.
I was actually going to ask you about that.
Yeah. I mean, I'm excited to get to it, but I just have to get to it.
I'll be honest. Like I've said it on the show repeatedly. I fell off after like the fourth episode. Of the series itself.
Oh, okay. Oh, so in other words, from the first first run?
It didn't catch me like, you know, the Netflix and DC stuff has, you know? I don't know.
I think it's good that it doesn't have to completely tie into the Marvel movies.
Right.
So you don't have to do one without the other. They don't necessarily go hand in hand. It helps to have seen the movies and then you go to S.H.I.E.L.D. Because it will follow after the movies in that respect.
Now, so one of the things, you know, fan casting and even the man himself has said he wants it to happen, Vin Diesel has wanted to play Black Bolt for years. I know, you know.
Wow.
Do you think there's going to be fans out there when Black Bolt shows up, if he does be portrayed by, you know, Vin Diesel, if it were to happen, do you think fans are going to be like, wait a minute, he sounds familiar. He sounds like Groot. Oh, wait a minute, Black Bolt doesn't talk. So.
That's good.
I want to see that moment happen so badly. Just, you know, I am Groot. So.
Pause here.
By the way, that pause was my impression of Black Bolt.
That's
so.
Very, very good. Yes.
It was.
I think that's good. I mean, body type, sure. You know, Black Bolt is well built, put together, and strong in ways other than having to have the vocal prowess. But when he does make noise, it's earth shattering.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
I mean, like, I think the idea of seeing an Inhumans TV series, that's fine, you know, as a replacement, because that means maybe we're going to get something different in the movies. You know what I mean? Maybe we'll get a different film, you know, something else.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, Mike and I were talking about this, I believe, in the last episode. What do you think would happen? Do you think the slowdown, like, we really haven't seen much announced from Fox. We kind of saw the Gambit movie get, you know, put on the shelf, but not really. We saw, we haven't really heard much about another sequel to X-Men Apocalypse. We haven't seen anything heard about that. Other than it's going to take place in the 90s, nothing else.
Okay, yeah.
We know Deadpool 2 is going to happen, but, you know, there's the whole, you know, rigmarole about that going on with the director. Junkie XL is leaving as well. A lot of things are, you know, changing.
Yeah. Well.
And also, you know, Logan, nothing's being said with Logan. Logan being the last appearance of Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. So what me and Mike were talking about last week was, do you think what we're going to see is this? Marvel is making a deal with Fox to bring the X-Men into the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's possible, sure. We can't rule that out, I don't think, at all, you know.
I mean, you and I were talking off mic earlier about it, the idea, you know, we're seeing X-Men merchandise again. Like, if you go, you know, Toys R Us, you're seeing, like, the X-Men Marvel Legends figures now.
You know, okay.
Like, uh-huh. You know, they threw, like, characters in, like, Wolverine, Kitty Pryde, Iceman, Havoc, Deadpool. You know, of course, Deadpool being a given. But, you know, all these characters. And then you go, like, to, you know, T-shirt shops, and they have official Marvel-licensed X-Men stuff, which they didn't have a year ago. Like, if you go to, you know, your local Walmart, what do you see normally? Characters from the Marvel Cinematic Universe, but not X-Men.
Well, it could be time for them to have a resurgence.
I hope so.
You know, it's possible that maybe there's been a lag, and maybe they're looking at everything and saying, hey, let's try and build these guys up again. Logan's coming back, or coming with that movie in the early part of next year, I think.
And it's smart. It's really smart of them to do. But, like, my problem with all of this is, I feel, you know, they could have capitalized on it when Apocalypse came out. They could have capitalized on it when, you know, Days of Future Past came out.
And, you know what? I don't even know. I enjoyed the movies, both of them.
Right.
Irrespective of anybody's reviews or so on. And I don't know how well they did box office-wise. So maybe that could have been helpful to really, you know, push it with the merchandising and stuff. It would be a natural thing to do.
Yeah.
Like with the other films and so on, especially, you know, when you've got your Avengers movies and your Captain America movies. Definitely.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you practically flood the market with that and so on. You're still seeing, Civil War merchandising in different aspects, whether it's apparel or cereal boxes. Yeah, absolutely.
Eddie has the Captain America Civil War cereal box as well, which I've always thought to be one of the coolest cereal boxes, because I was like, oh, man, I better get the second one so I have the Captain America side.
Yes.
And then I realized, oh, wait, it's both characters on both sides. I'm like, that's actually genius design.
Yeah, it's a good idea. And so you open the box when it's done, of course, take the bag out, and you got something to hang up, possibly.
Exactly.
Or a frame or whatever, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, like, the thing is with me, you know, I want to see more X-Men stuff. Like, as a big X-Men fan, you know, going through my phase right now, because I'm like, you know, again, off mic, you and I were talking about it, I'm going through 80s X-Men, going through trying to slowly but surely get all the way up to date. But I know the 90s, there's gonna be like 8,000 miniseries.
Yeah, true. But maybe, you know, with the Deadpool movie and Colossus and the girl character,
Negasonic Teenage Warhead,
that I don't recall in any comic book per se.
She was in New X-Men, the Grant Morrison run.
New X-Men. Okay, so that came along later. Again, something to catch up to.
2001, too, I think.
There you go. Okay. Then that could have maybe been a little spark, an incentive to open up the X-Men merchandising vault or whatever. And
the interesting thing, though, is you go to Walmart, the only X-Men-related character you see in the T-shirt aisle, for example, is Deadpool. Everything Deadpool.
Okay.
And the funniest thing is I ended up seeing like a Deadpool t-shirt and it said Maximum Effort because of the movie. I'm like, that's cool. I like seeing that, you know.
Do you think people recognize the X-Men characters?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Because like at least like my generation, the 90s kids, because of the fact of, you know, the animated series especially. Like, uh-huh. And I've actually been rewatching that recently as well. And just seeing that again, you know, it was good. Wasn't as great as Batman the Animated Series, but it was pretty darn good.
Okay, because I have cosplayed as Cyclops a couple or so times, and I think that's been met with moderate success, so to speak, knowing who the character is. It's also probably one of the easiest costumes I've had to deal with. I mean, the one-piece jumpsuit type of thing goes on easy. It's blue with the X in the upper chest corner area, and whether I wear the headpiece that has the visor attached to it, not a real hard plastic visor, or even better, wear a pair of dark sunglasses.
Yeah,
which is just as fine, you know.
But with red.
Well, red is optimal, but you know they're out to the shop, so we have to deal with the standard, just darkened.
It happens.
Yeah, and it works. I'd say put your two fingers up to your forehead, temple, and boom, you're set.
Well, boom,
take the picture.
Like, boom, just like the explosions your laser beams will cause as a result of it.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, but I mean, like I. I think the idea of just seeing, you know, more X-Men merchandise is going to be a weird thing to see, especially like I said, you know, when I went into Hot Topic fairly recently and I saw there was an X-Men shirt where it was like a spray painted X in the red circle. You know what I mean? I saw that. I'm like,
okay.
Oh, that is
probably
so cool.
Dripping that X or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Is it a Hot Topic? Cause that's what we're talking about. Or are you talking about the merchandising store?
Okay. I see what you did.
Dual meaning. There you go.
But yeah, they had that. Then they had like the all new X-Men. Like it was all new X-Men number one, the cover of it as a t-shirt. I'm like, that's
now cool. The X-Men t-shirts you're seeing, are you seeing them as a group?
Yeah.
Okay. What do you think? It might not be far down the line then that we see them as individual characters.
Well, I know they're doing that in terms of the comics. I know Iceman's getting his own book. I think they're doing another Magneto run. Don't quote me on that.
Well, I'm talking about t-shirts.
Oh, yeah. Well, I know.
Special. I mean, Wolverine, yes.
Yeah.
Plus, there's a lot of those out there. Fine. Deadpool, right. Okay. But do you see a Cyclops t-shirt?
I'd like to see that.
A Nightcrawler.
Oh, as a diehard Nightcrawler.
Maybe
fan,
a Kitty Pryde and the Lockheed.
That would be cool. That would be so cool. Like,
absolutely.
I don't know though if like
I think they are there. I mean, I was lucky enough to get a couple of t-shirts for $5 each at St. Barnabas, I think in New Jersey, when they do sort of an auction thing, but you have to get there early because all the vendors get in there and scoff up stuff really quickly. But nonetheless, I got a blue t-shirt with the man called Nova. From his first, and he's, you know, coming through like a Superman pose. That's what he did for the first. And, you know, hey, that's the first time I'd seen a Nova character shirt like that. And I was like, yeah, between that and $5, sure.
Yeah, definitely. And I mean, you know, you see stuff like that. You never, like, I like that Marvel is themselves, though, like, because they don't have the Fantastic Four, you know, for theatrical. And they don't have they don't have the Fantastic Four and the X-Men and Silver Surfer and people like that. But they make the most of their, like, you know, C-list and B-list characters, and even D-list, you know? Like, again...
Who goes down to that level? Let's see. Oh.
It's always been the
Herbie the Robot. Okay, Fantastic Four.
It's true. I would love to see a Herbie t-shirt. I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
And, you know, speaking of Fantastic Four, you know, like, they actually, on the show We Hate Movies, did their review where they, you know, ripped apart the 2005 Fantastic Four movie. But...
Well...
It was not that great.
Uh-huh.
But... The thing I liked about it, you know, going on afterwards, you know, going on Wikipedia and like reading that Herbie was actually in the DVD release.
Whoa, okay.
He's like in the background of one scene.
So oh, like, I see. Okay.
They, you know, utilized as much of that stuff as they could. And I think it would have been funny if they made a reference to the 1980s TV series where it was Fred and Barney meet the Thing. And Fred and Barney never once in that series met the Thing.
Oh,
but it was like one of those shows where it was like 15, it was a 30 minute show. The first half was a Fred and Barney cartoon. The second half was a show where a kid got a ring and he says, "Thing ring, do your thing." And he turned into the Thing.
Oh my.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, definitely an adaptation, a different sort for sure.
It sure was. And I would have loved to have just, you know, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but
I know we're just going somewhere.
Where we're going, there are no roads or points of conversation. So
due to circumstances beyond our control.
But yeah, I mean, I like the idea of just, again, going back to my point of, you know, the X-Men stuff. I think it's cool that we're seeing all these obscure characters that Marvel's utilizing. And even at a point, you know, a B-list character to a degree who just became an A-lister, you know, Doctor Strange. That movie just hit $500 million worldwide at the box office.
That's great. That is great.
Would you have expected that, you know, 10 years ago, that movie would have done as well as it did?
It wouldn't have been out. That's why it wasn't. I don't know. Do you? I know you have the total worldwide box office take, but I remember seeing the first 2 weeks of release, 65, 85 million thereabouts and so on. And I don't know what it cost to make, and I don't know what the domestic revenue the gross is for there.
Yeah, like I said, worldwide though, it made $500 million. Like
right.
I think it's insane that character is getting as big as it is. But also, again, I've said it before, Marvel Studios are absolute geniuses for the decision of saying, hey, let's cast this guy who already has a built-in fan base. Let's cast him as the lead, and we know for a fact those fans will see it multiple times.
Yeah. Oh, sure. Yeah, because you know, folks are taking the chance. I'm talking about the viewing public now, because they know Marvel's history.
Yeah.
And for the most part, it's been wonderful. And, you know, a lot of home runs that have been knocked out of the park with these. So people are probably saying, all right, what do you got now? What are you going to come up with next? And then, you know, it's keeping the buzz going and the further development. Now, what I think is kind of curious is we, as far as I know, don't know what's coming out movie-wise beyond 2018 or 19 or so, because there was 2020, man. It was projected that far out that all these movies, and I think one of the later ones is supposed to be like, you know, Black Panther or the Infinity War in two parts.
Yeah.
Beyond that, I think maybe they said, all right, what's going to maybe stop it and just reassess what's going to happen. A friend of mine had said, you know, how far can they go before they run out of steam?
Yeah, I mean, like right now, as far as I know, the farthest movie they have is Avengers Infinity War. Are they still doing Infinity War as a two-parter or no?
I didn't hear anything recent, but that doesn't mean anything.
Like, I'm actually pulling up right now a list of Marvel Cinematic Universe films.
Okay.
And, you know, let's see, Future, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2. The farthest out they are right now is Untitled Avengers Sequel, May 3rd, 2019.
19, okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. They haven't even gone as far as 2020.
Okay.
The next list of films in order. Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2, May 5th, 2017. Spidey Homecoming, July 7th, 2017. Thor Ragnarok, November 3rd, 2017. Black Panther, February 16th, 2018. Avengers Infinity War, May 4th. It's going to be on May the 4th. So,
well, you know what? It's just working out that way, and Star Wars notwithstanding, it's about time somebody else.
Exactly.
I guess, you know, the date was not copyrighted, so to speak. It just became part of the vernacular of
pretty much
in the Nerdiverse or whatever.
But yeah, May 4th, 2018. Ant-Man and the Wasp, July 6th, 2018.
That one I'm looking forward to.
It's a weird movie. I didn't expect to be so excited for that. But
no, well, from having seen Ant-Man and the two bonus scenes after the movie, during the credits, after the credits, you know.
And then you have Captain Marvel, March 8th, 2019. And this is actually the soonest turnaround for a Marvel movie. March 8th, 2019 is Captain Marvel. 2 months later is going to be Avengers, Untitled Avengers sequel, May 3rd, 2019.
Between releasing Marvel movies?
Because I've never seen them do that before.
I think they have, actually, a couple or so years ago. Might have been as far...
Oh, no, yeah, Iron Man.
Like 2012, I think, was a good year for that happening. Whether it be... well, actually, 2012 was the first Avenger movie, I believe.
Might have been 2011 with Captain America and Thor, I believe.
That's possible, yeah. Because I remember there being a Captain America movie and then another as well. Unless it was the year... Wait, then there was an Iron Man movie, and then a month or two later was a Hulk movie.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, what's it called?
I think it's hanging on the wall behind me, those posters or something.
They are.
I can't remember.
they definitely
I don't think we can see the dates from here, but that's okay.
But yeah, like, I know Incredible Hulk and Iron Man, they had films come out, like, I think 2 months in between each other.
Yes.
But this was before when it was the Mighty Marvel marching machine, you know, where it was, like, every, you know, like... I liked the idea, though, of, like, every 6 months, Marvel will churn out something new. I think that's the coolest concept for them.
Sure.
Because, you know, we're getting in a few months Iron Fist. I believe, isn't Iron Fist going to be next year, right?
Yeah. In what form? A movie or?
Netflix.
I'm so Netflix illiterate, it's terrible.
It is, like, they said the turnout for that is going to be every 6 months, there's going to be new content.
Okay.
And I think that's incredible. Like, yeah. You know. And again, as somebody who has seen the Iron Fist footage, people out there, if you were not in attendance at the panel, oh my gosh, was it really impressive stuff. Like,
oh.
I've gone as far to say, after seeing Doctor Strange, in regards to the Netflix end, you know, the portrayals, you know, Daredevil, Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, I feel Iron Fist is one of the best so far.
Huh. Okay.
Like his portrayal of the character already, just from, you know,
yeah,
just like maybe 10 minutes worth of footage I saw. It was impressive.
Okay.
He definitely nailed how, you know, Danny Rand is. It worked. He's pretty much just like, you know, a hippie kind of guy, you know, like walking around. Like one of the scenes was he's walking into his family's, New York City skyscraper, you know, building and walks in, you know, shoeless and just like a hippie. And they kick him out because he's been dead this whole time, apparently.
Oh, wow.
So,
okay.
But they're going with this. It kind of reminds me a little bit. I think it's going to be Marvel's version of Arrow, but with Kung Fu.
Yeah.
you know?
Okay, well, yeah, I can see the parallel you're making on that and stuff. Yeah,
because, you know, the whole Oliver Queen was like,
yes.
I was lost at sea for 7 years on a hellish... No, it was seven, because I remember...
Really?
I think... No, five.
I'm going with five.
Yeah, I think it was.
From what I've seen.
I spent 5 years on a hellish island. I will never forget you, Stephen Amell, for saying that, like, doing that line read. I spent 5 years on a hellish island. Also with Barry Allen. I am Defleur. From season one, people.
From season, well, okay, okay. Well, I guess they fix it come season two and stuff.
And
so.
It bummed me out so much when he changed it, because I was hoping, like, I loved how we had The Flash, Defleur, and Hellish.
You know, speaking of changed it, and I wasn't sure where in the topic list it was, but you had mentioned off mic about the intro to the Marvel movies.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And changing that instead of, well, and after flipping the pages, I think, which they do start with still.
Yeah, it's a little, it's like pages flipping, I think, and then it dissolves into, you know, actual shots of the movies.
Yes, and that, which, like you said, Doctor Strange was the first seeing that technique, and I'm saying, well, hey, this is pretty good, you know?
Man, they've had so much material to be able to do that with already, so like, let's just throw that up there. Now we got enough material, just throw that. Because at one point it would have been just like Iron Man just standing there, you know, like, hey guys, what's up?
Or different scenes from that one movie.
Exactly.
Possibly. And you're thinking, am I in the wrong theater?
Nope, we're just going to watch Iron Man again.
Oh, well, okay, that's fine.
That's a good movie, so I don't mind, but...
Yeah.
How is this going to develop for the Avengers? Oh, well, we're just going to watch this again. I don't know. Figure it out.
Yeah, right.
But yeah, I mean, you know, speaking of Marvel, you know, studios, what they're doing right now is they're going with, you know, making it, they made a deal with Fox to bring Ego the Living Planet, who was a character created for Silver Surfer, Fantastic Four, and they're bringing him over into the Marvel Cinematic Universe. They traded him for Fox to get, like, for the upcoming Deadpool movie to change Negasonic Teenage Warhead. That's a
tough one. I'm sorry. I even even trying it, so.
I love the movie, but man, I can't pronounce that. I can't, like, say that character's name in the right order any time.
No.
I might have got it right. There's a 50-50 chance it's Negasonic or Teenage. Whichever one, yeah, we'll figure that out.
Uh-huh.
But, and please, people at home, don't tweet me that. I don't care. So.
It is moot.
Yeah.
Not just be confused with Groot.
I am moot. But yeah, so they ended up trading the ability to change her character powers from, you know, the comic into the movie version. So it's going to be different. But they, you know, made a deal with each other and they're changing that.
All right.
So it's not really that big of a deal, but it is kind of interesting to see that they're even doing a trade over there with, you know, Fox.
Well, there'll be the diehards who say, that's not what it's supposed to be like or whatever. But then again, since the first Spider-Man movie, it wasn't supposed to grow, out of his head of his fingers directly.
I mean, I don't think there's that.
So we could stick to walls.
Yeah, but do you think there's really that big of a contingent of Negasonic Teenage Warhead fans, you know,
no.
sitting at home, you know, getting ready to write, you know, me a strongly worded letter saying, how dare you say that about
it? It's just in its infancy now. Who knows what it could grow into? And
well,
or
it's
morph,
in its.
Who knows? Or BAMF, for that matter.
The teenage is in its adolescence, Eddie.
Oh, ouch. Okay,
yeah.
That's fine.
Even I'm disappointed with that joke.
Thank you, Sinead O'Connor. Okay.
Wow.
What a reference to that. That was good.
Nothing compares to you, Eddie.
Thank you so much. Okay. Well, on that note.
And now we're banned from Saturday Night Live for some reason. We don't know why. We'll figure it out.
Yeah,
was banned.
Please.
We just got banned. We have no idea why.
Papal authority by that has come down, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you know, I think the idea of seeing, you know, just a deal working out between the two is going to be really interesting, because what could this mean then for other films? What could this mean for other characters? Because, you know, at one point, Taskmaster was wrapped up in the Fox red tape. And when they ended up, like, they traded over, like, a ton of characters, it's pretty much like trading baseball cards,
kind of. That's what I was thinking when you first said trade. I'm thinking a baseball team and, like, what the heck? Okay.
Like, Taskmaster is in the Marvel Cinematic Universe now.
Is.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to be eventually. Like, they may bring him in, like, incorporate him.
And I'm trying to remember who he ties in to closely.
This is the thing about Marvel and the film rights that confuses me. The reason Taskmaster was brought over into the X-Men stuff was because of the close tie he had with Deadpool. Because he was one of Deadpool's major foes.
Deadpool's major foes?
Yeah.
And I don't remember him as such. I thought it was
Cable and Deadpool, stuff like that. And the original Deadpool run.
I thought Taskmaster went further back. And
he did.
Okay, then I'm tying him into, I'm trying to think, Captain America maybe.
He made his first appearance in Avengers.
Then it's Avengers, okay.
And this is the thing about it that confuses me with all these film rights. Okay, so Fox originally had the rights to Taskmaster, yet he'd made his first appearance in an Avengers comic. On the flip side, the Inhumans made their debut appearance in the Fantastic Four, and yet Marvel Studios this entire time have had the rights. Kind of confused about that, because aren't they created? And same with Black Panther. Black Panther was created for the Fantastic Four.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But yet, you know, he spun off into his own series, so whatever. But it's one of those confusing little things, like, why are they doing that like that? But then again, you know, you have like a team like the Guardians of the Galaxy, who are their own independent group, you know? And they can make their own, you know, make their own way, which I like that. I really like seeing, you know, they're their own.
Well, to that point and or point A, it seems like anybody can be an Avenger. Or there's been such a rotation of the, you know, a roster that it's hard to keep whatever. See, there you go. And the other thing is, you know, with the Guardians, and it goes back to when they first came out, I don't think I was part of What'll Be Exquisite at the time that, and again, the same friend I referenced earlier said, well, these are not the same Guardians as you first saw in what Marvel presents in the late 70s, whatever.
These ones are good now because the ones from the 70s were so awful.
You know, maybe that's what they thought, that they would not translate to something modern and stuff, because Martin X had been one of them, and the powerhouse guy who reminds me sort of Juggernaut.
Is that the one with the flathead?
I think so, yeah.
I always think of like a Hammerhead, you know, the Spidey villain.
Right. And was it Starhawk, I think, was one
it's
also.
It's such a dud group. It's so bad.
Well, you know, no, dud group, I think. And they maybe make a little noise. Great Lakes Avengers.
Hey, how dare you? I love those guys. I actually do, which is the funny part.
Well, okay. But, you know, that's what just jumped into my head, which I don't know too much about either, but
and
whatever.
The funniest thing is they're actually releasing a Great Lakes Avengers comic now.
Okay, that's, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like a new one, but. Yeah, I mean, Marvel, they know what they're doing, especially with the comics, man. Like, they really know what they're doing.
Yep.
And I think although, one thing that I'm not a fan of with Marvel is the fact that they will end a series after X amount of issues to start a new series or just abandon that character for a while.
In so many titles, it's done, though, now. It's so confusing having to try to catch up to comics that are out in the 2010 decade kind of thing, which I swore I would never do. But, you know, having stopped in the early to mid-90s and now catching up on just the collecting aspect, never mind the reading part now, but to stop after so many issues and then start it over again, I can only think of it being a money thing.
Yeah.
That restart, because everybody's caught up on first issue maybe. Maybe that's just the stereotype that, you know, that's the valuable issue or whatever.
I think it's also the idea of, you know, you see a higher number and it's intimidating. You know what I mean? Like, oh, I don't know what's going to happen, so I better wait for, you know, a number one of something else.
That's interesting. I didn't think of it quite, you know, like that.
I know that's like Jeff Loeb's theory. Like, he's gone on record saying, you know, people get intimidated when they see, like, you know, like when Spider-Man was around, like number 700. Oh, crap, I have to read 700 issues? No, you don't need to read them, but, you know. I've always liked the Stan Lee theory of every issue is a person's first. You can just, like, you know, throw a little bit of exposition in there, help it out, and then just go back to the regular way.
Yeah, yeah,
like maybe
exactly.
Maybe a page of exposition. That's it.
You know, the thing is, I had thought, and this was when I first really started, and I went to the comic book store just probably a variety kind of store that had multiple different things, and it had a rotating vertical spinner of comics, and I got a half a dozen or so titles.
Right.
You know, a cover price, I think, was 35 cents at the time. And if you liked it, then maybe you continued with it.
Yeah.
If you really liked it, maybe you wanted to find out and start pursuing older stuff.
Yeah.
So that never really occurred to me about coming into it at a high number. Action Comics, classic example. How many? 900 something or other?
Yeah, and they actually brought the numbering back.
They brought it back to, what is it, 967 now, I thought I saw recently, possibly. But
I think so.
And I'm sure there's a big plan. One of my comic book friends, owners in Florida, CJ, you know, had briefly mentioned about what they're going to do for number 1,000.
Right.
But, you know, that remains to be seen.
That's going to be weird to see a number 1,000 for a book.
Yeah, you have to make more space in the top corner if they're putting the numbers back in the top corner now, that is.
I know, if I remember correct from the DC Rebirth that titles that I was following, yeah, they have them up in the top left.
Because Marvel did a big bet, I think, by putting those numbers at the bottom of the comic books. And you know, whether it was a red bar across the bottom or maybe for another printing a green or a blue bar. Hey, for filing purposes, hello.
Right.
You know, looking at the bottom of every issue to make sure you know which sequential order and that kind of thing. But on that, you know, really quick on that Action Comics note, we didn't mention this. I've started to, of course, catch up to the current run of Comic Book Men. And the one recent one was the trip to the Baltimore Museum, Jeppy's,
yeah.
I think, museum, which is definitely a road trip because I have a friend that lives right outside of Baltimore, and I didn't realize all the nostalgia that was there. I had seen a kind of a montage poster from that place and so many different things that are there, and I just said, wow, I didn't realize where it was. I got to go. But Walter, who had to go just to be in the presence of Action Comics and to just catch an aroma of the comic book itself.
Which is one of the strange things.
Great, but how many people did the owner, Steve, put into a cardiac arrest by handling that comic book? If it truly was an original, barehanded.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, WTF, man. What, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
How do you do that? You own it? Fine. It's yours. You do whatever the heck you want with it. But really?
And then Ming accidentally rips it.
No. Don't say it. Was that the part that didn't make the...
How great would that moment have been? You just see like Ming have to, like, you know, he makes like a payment plan every month, like $500.
No, that's just unreal.
Poor TV's Ming Chen.
Poor TV's Ming. And at least in the world of comic book men, that, right? In real life, we don't know. But that just really, really got me.
And it's
a shocker moment.
That was definitely an interesting scene on the show.
Yeah.
I know, like, the funniest thing is I've wanted to take a picture with that book because whenever I go to New York Comic Con, there's always the CGC vendor. And
okay.
They always have that there.
Yeah.
Which is one of the weird things because I'm like, they realize it's a bigger show, so maybe there is one person who will spend that money.
Yeah.
Because Nicolas Cage did that, you know, when he was going to New York Comic Con, he was going to a convention in Vegas, and he was buying up everything he could get his hands on.
Wow.
He
okay.
was getting, like...
Is that before he bought the castle in the Transylvania area of the world or something?
It might have been. I know Nicolas Cage, he was buying lots of Silver Age Marvel comics. Silver Age Marvel comics. You're going to put them next to the Constitution.
That's yeah. it.
Lots of Silver Age
and stuff. And the contractor, Verganza.
Scripted by Stan Lee. That's my Nicolas Cage impression.
Very good.
So, I guess you do it. No, I'm not going to do the rest of this episode as that, but I'd be talking about Spider-Man, the Hulk. Not everything can have an S.
That is true. So, onward we go.
Fantastic. So, 4. Well, technically, never mind. I'm done with this joke. I think I beat this dead horse enough into glue. So we got glue now.
That's it.
So anyway, wow, that was a thing for a few seconds.
That was the thing itself.
But yeah, okay. Now going, you know, back to Guardians of the Galaxy, you know, the thing about that I like is that, you know, Marvel is partnering up with Telltale Games who have been doing, you know, a Batman game. And it's an episodic game. So it's like episode 1, you beat that, then you can play episode 2, you beat that, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay.
And somebody pointed out, you know, Marvel is going to be doing a Guardians of the Galaxy game with Telltale Games. And it's going to be like, I don't know how knowledgeable you are with, you know, computer gaming from, like, you know, the 70s or the 80s.
Probably nil, but I may have heard of titles, but go ahead.
It's like a point-and-click adventure games, you know, like... stuff like that. It's like you play as the character, not like, you know, running around, but like you go click on this, you find clues, and it helps you out into the next part of the game.
Okay.
So, you know, stuff like Adventures or Secret of Monkey Island, stuff like that. But the thing about that I think is really, really cool is Marvel said, hey, what characters do you want? Can we do the Guardians of the Galaxy? Sure. Whereas, okay. You know, DC was like, somebody pointed this out on Reddit, and again, you know, not an episode goes by where I don't point out somebody said something on Reddit, but somebody said, you know, a DC on the opposite hand, they said, hey, what character can we use? Batman. How about, you know, Green Lantern or, you know, no, Batman. Just keep, like, I love Batman. I'm wearing a Batman hoodie as I'm speaking into this microphone right now. But I would love to see DC utilize other characters other than Batman.
Yeah, maybe they're just not sure they're footing in that they can bank on Batman as being a stable and, you know, a sure bet.
I still
kind of think until they have more success, whether it's cinematically or otherwise.
How cool would an
to go into other characters like a ubiquitous or an obscure group, you know, compared to what we were talking about with X-Men merchandising and that kind of thing.
I think a character I would love to see like an open world video game would be, you know, Green Lantern. And I know Mike would definitely agree with me on that, you know.
Like okay.
Seeing the character go into outer space, you know, exploring like, you know, different planets and stuff like that, you know, protecting the sector. How cool, like that would be a cool game to play. Or, you know, maybe an open world Flash game, you know. For those of you who don't know the gaming vernacular, open world meaning like, you know, you can literally do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like just walk around, do anything, you know, sandbox kind of game. Just it's your open world, do whatever you want. But a game of the Flash where you're running around, do, you know, going super fast, or, you know, you push a button and it turns into super slow, but it's like a split second and you're just like, you know, doing everything in a second.
Yeah. Yeah.
But DC doesn't want to do that. They want to, you know, just keep doing Batman, Batman, Batman.
Which they really didn't do. I don't think, you know, you just reminded me of the Quicksilver moments from the Marvel movies.
Right.
Whereas everything is slowed down and he's doing all these things within a split second of time. But did they really do that in, or maybe they'll do that when they get to the Justice League movie, but they didn't, I think, show that
I know
much in
I know in the trailer.
Flash. Well, no, I'm sorry. I take it back. My bad. They have done that in a couple instances, at least in episodes of The Flash.
And I know in the Justice League trailer, they did a slow-mo spot where it's Batman says, "You're Barry Allen, right? How do you know who I am and why are you sitting in my favorite chair?" And, you know, he says, "You're super fast." Yeah, I guess. And Batman pulls out a Batarang and throws it at Barry Allen's face. And if you see the trailer, you know, he slows it down and actually the thing goes right to his face and he moves out of the way and just looks at it for a couple seconds and then grabs it and goes, "By the way, can I keep this?" So
that's great.
And, you know, people are saying, again, you know, going back to the DC stuff, I love that trailer and I can't stress it enough. I've watched that trailer like a good 20 to 30 times.
It sounds like me when the first Ghost Rider movie came out. I would watch that trailer a lot on YouTube and stuff.
Man, that the trailer for, you know, for Justice League, I love DC. And, like, you know, sometimes on the show I'll talk about DC and in a negative light, but I do like DC. I do like comics, you know what I mean? But
well, we knew the comics part. You just have to overcome your DC, opinions. Yeah, contrived or opposite viewpoints.
Like, DC makes good movies every once in a while. Are they making good movies right now? Not really. But, you know, I want to see them succeed, as I've repeated in the past.
What about the trailer for Wonder Woman?
I'm indifferent. I like the first trailer. I didn't care much for the second one.
Okay.
But, you know, I believe we both saw the same trailer, the one that was attached to Doctor Strange.
Yes.
Yeah, and again, it was okay, not as good as the first one, but...
Like when she's sliding, you know, in the combat mode when she's fighting and so on, but doing that sliding motion, I guess ducking underneath something or other, and it looked pretty action-oriented, of course, and, you know, it's a good build-up, I think, to it, so... Hopefully it will manifest as such.
It would be awesome. I mean, you know, although early speculation apparently internally at Warner Brothers is the movie is not that great. So literally the case of a good-looking trailer.
Yeah, so, where the best parts are in the trailer?
Yep. Although the thing is, again, I love seeing a movie where the trailer is not that great, but the movie itself is good.
Give a girl or a gal, in this case, a chance.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, speak on that topic of giving a girl a chance. The Ghostbusters movie from this year. Did you see it at all?
No, but I will shortly, actually. I found that out recently. I'm going to see that. And Suicide Squad, which I haven't seen yet.
Suicide Squad was okay. But you're going to be seeing Suicide Squad as the extended cut because, of course, DC doesn't know how to completely fully edit a movie in time.
What, does it extend another 15 minutes, I believe?
Yep.
Okay.
And, again, I will say again what I believe I said last week. I really don't like the fact of seeing this company make a movie and then trick the fans into seeing it a second time on DVD for double your ticket price.
And that's got to go with Batman v Superman, which I didn't see.
Colin Dawn of Justice. Yes.
Yeah, which Colin Dawn of Justice, which I did not see extended.
I
took it at face value. I took it at face value in the theater. I said, okay, you know.
That's a movie. Those are people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I said, all right, well, they're going to, you know, sink or swim with it or just kind of tread water, if possible. And leave it at that.
It's, again, I want to see DC be successful. But the thing is, they keep failing. And it's kind of bad. Like, I liked Suicide Squad for what it was. It was okay. It wasn't edited perfectly, but it was a decent movie.
Okay.
It was lit, like, and I, you know, now, as I've said before, you know, in my little recap, it's tied for the number three spot, but it's a three-way tie for the number three spot, you know, for movies this year.
Okay.
So, and if you didn't listen to last week's episode, the three-way tie right now is between Doctor Strange, Suicide Squad, and Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, which I did not expect to see in the, even contention for a number three spot at all. But here we are.
You know, a friend of mine who's a big Ninja Turtles fan, I didn't even ask if he saw what he hasn't said a word. So I really don't know, and I'm so not knowing Turtles. But
I liked it for nostalgia purposes. But okay. I think the nostalgia purposes are why I like it as much as I do.
Yeah, okay, right.
But, you know, I think the thing about it is, you know, and again, if you want to know what number one and number two are, number one, Deadpool, number two, Cap. Because Cap, this year's?
Civil War?
Yeah.
Okay.
Civil War, if we have to do a little bit of Axl Rose.
What are you doing, a Guns N' Roses? Oh, yeah. Okay.
So,
okay.
Thank you for getting that, by the way. I appreciate
that's
that.
The only thing I could possibly think of that, you know, of a singing Civil War. I think there was a, okay, right, got it.
So, yeah, I mean, the thing about it, I like, you know, about Civil War, and I've said this before repeatedly, I will watch that movie, and I won't even really watch the movie. I'll just fast forward to the Spider-Man scenes. And I've done that multiple, like, I did
well,
that
well,
multiple
you,
times.
Well, did you please stay? Say you also watched the giant Ant-Man stuff,
of
too?
Course.
Okay.
I still love the Ant-Man part because of the fact he grabs one of the characters and you just hear, I loved that, you know. Because absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Yes.
And man, does that show with Giant Man for that moment.
Yeah.
110%. Scott Lang, I think?
Yes. Yeah.
So, but yeah, I mean, I just like the idea that, going back to the Guardians of the Galaxy thing, that's actually a reality, you know?
Well, that's good, because this was... Could you call the Guardians of the Galaxy movie a sleeper hit that was not expected to do tremendously well and just went really, really... You know, I think Groot was a big part of it, mass appeal across the board. And it's kind of... Now, I don't know if they're... And I'm maybe jumping ahead. When we get to Guardians of the Galaxy 2, to see a maturing Groot who's only yay high kind of thing, how much time has passed since the first movie? I don't know. What is Groot's growth rate? And or who cares? But be that as it may, you've got a you know, another marketing tool for another different size Groot that you haven't seen already, whether it's a pop figure or otherwise.
Well, what I found hilarious was when they made that the merchandise for it, none of them thought Guardians of the Galaxy would do well.
Right.
And none of them thought, oh, people are going to like Groot. Dancing Groot stuff didn't come out until maybe 5 months after the movie came out.
Okay.
But perfectly timed for Christmas, I noticed.
Uh-huh.
So, but the thing about that I found funny was, you know, they undersold, like, Gamora stuff. No one thought, you know, Gamora would sell. And, like, Gamora is one of the characters that, like, people want merchandise of. You know, because a strong female character, yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
Same thing with, you know, with Star Wars Force Awakens. They barely made any Rey merchandise. Yet she was the main protagonist.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which I think is one of those weird things. But I think it's also, like, the toy marketer's way of... Only boys will play with action figures. I know plenty of people who have kids that have daughters. Mike, for example, they have her play with, you know, superhero stuff.
Yeah. There
so,
you go. And Gamora, I've seen at least at a couple of places cosplayed as such.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think that's a big, serious, don't underestimate that character at all.
I mean, I'm a big Star-Lord fan. And like,
that I've seen, of course, yeah, done.
By the way, I've said it, I don't know if I've said it, but depending next year, 95% chance I might actually be cosplaying as Peter Quill, Star-Lord, at least once with the red jacket.
I think you could do it. I think you could do it. You don't even have to shave.
I'm rocking the beard right now, so there's a big possibility.
Yeah.
But I've been told, like, you know, one person says, you should do it. You would make a good Star-Lord. I'm like, I'll think about it.
Yeah.
But the funniest thing is I've actually, little side story, there's a leather jacket shop near us in the mall near us. And you've seen the leather jacket shop. It's next to the food court in the Galleria in Middletown.
Maybe I have. Okay, sure.
Mm-hmm. And I've gone in there, and as I've been losing weight, you know, I've been going in there and I've been trying on leather jackets because at one point at my biggest, I'm not going to say I'm not going to say what my biggest was. I'll tell you off mic. But I would try on, you know, the jackets there, and they would always be tight. I've been trying them on now. It's a lot looser. And evidently, I've been trying them on accidentally in the women's section of the leather jackets, and there was no sign telling me that they were the women's leather jackets.
But wait, how do they fit?
I don't know, but they fit very well.
Oh, well, there you go. Okay, well, congratulations fit and the loss.
But not just that. I apparently fit really well in a women's leather jacket. Who knew?
Uh-huh.
But, you know, now the guy in the staff actually told me, hey, just to let you know, you've been trying on the women's clothing this whole time. I have? Why didn't you tell me? Oh, we thought it was funny. But, no. So, you know... But apparently, whatever. But I'm trying to track down.
Or wasn't sure if you'd actually buy and then maybe tell you, you know.
Sir, you've been trying on women's clothing this entire time.
Will that be cash or charge?
So.
Hey, retail. Come on.
Exactly.
Backbone of... Never mind.
By the way, going back to the mighty Marvel manner of what we're talking about.
Oh.
Stan Lee was actually quoted recently in an interview going on saying that Robert Downey Jr. was born to play Iron Man. Tony
recently?
Stark. Yeah.
Why did they do this from however many years ago from the first Iron Man? I knew that right away when he was cast. I'm like, this is perfect. And my wife said, "What do you mean? He's a problem alcoholic or whatever." Yeah. Well, did you know Tony Stark was at least in the one Demon in a Bottle series? He was definitely down in the gutter.
Do you think they're ever going to adapt that story like into a film? They've wanted to, but they like,
you know what? It was alluded to, of course, in Iron Man 2. I think with just that drunken stupor and so on. But the. I don't think at this point it would be that way. If they were to do it, maybe as a small screen spinoff kind of thing, just to tell that tale. But you know, I don't know if you have to. You're not going to be able to cover all these different aspects of the characters.
Well, the one thing that I've noticed is this: I believe a year or two ago, Mel Gibson was like, what's his name? Robert Downey Jr. was going on saying Mel Gibson should direct Iron Man 4, and he'll only do Iron Man 4 if Mel directs it. How perfect would it be with everything that has happened in Mel Gibson's life? We're not going to go into it, but just Google it. There's a ton of stuff with that man.
Okay.
How perfect would it be to have him direct the Demon in a Bottle story, the ultimate story of redemption, and have that be his redemption story, you know, technically? You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
Mel
sure.
Gibson's.
Okay.
Because, you know, he just did that one film just now fairly recently. I forgot the name of it. I believe Hemlock Grove?
Maybe.
Something, but it was something. I think he would be the perfect person to direct that.
Right.
But, you know, I just want to see an Iron Man 4 happen still. I definitely want to see that. And, yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is definitely 110% Tony Stark.
He's embedded into it, and it doesn't mean he can't get other work. I mean, at least at some point he had the two, Sherlock Holmes movies?
And supposedly a third one is in development right now.
For that, okay.
I believe so.
Mm-hmm.
And it's about time, because the last one was 2011.
Possibly, yeah.
And it's one of those weird little things, like, you know, you see that movie, he's a part of that little cinematic universe. If we're going to go into yet another movie franchise that has a cinematic universe.
Yeah, yeah.
I love Marvel. I kind of hate Marvel for spawning the cinematic universe idea. Oh, my gosh. We have action figure cinematic universes. They want to make a ROM movie, I believe, and that'll have a universe.
Well, okay. That opens up a whole new can of worms, and that could be,
oh, it sure
that
does.
Could be good, you know, and... That was even with if you think about it with
Spider-Man almost had its own
what?
Cinematic universe in that Andrew Garfield cinematic universe.
Oh,
they
okay.
They were going to have, you know, a Venom film. They were going to do a Sinister Six film. They were going to do this. They were going to do that.
Yeah, with Andrew Wright as far as leading after the Amazing Spider-Man 2, right?
And how did that turn out?
hey, you know, well, yeah, Gwen dies, like, whatever, but still. But going into the ROM thing and maybe a loose tangent to that, when you get into Ant-Man going subatomic, well, to me, what do I think of right away? Micronauts.
Yeah.
So you're looking at an inner verse, possibly, and going in that possible direction. Character ownership now is not, I don't think, Marvel anymore. It's an IDW current title and so on. So I don't know where, you know, the logistics lie with doing anything like that. So
I've heard like it's going to be like a Hasbro universe.
Oh, okay.
That's what I'm hearing. It's like Hasbro is going to have, like, I think, the Transformers, and then they meet, you know, ROM and stuff like that. It's going to be like a whole thing. And
well, you could get ROM into it. Now, what would you link, so to speak, to get to ROM? Would you link it to, I don't know, Silver Surfer possibly? Or maybe they have a similar type of origin. That's why I'm comparing the two like that.
Maybe. I mean, I collect ROM, but I've never really read much of it. I just like the character because the character is cool.
Very cool character, and you should have read it, the whole series in the 80s. Very, very good.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. I definitely think the idea of just seeing all this stuff, it's... I feel like I've grown tired of origin stories and universes. Like after
a while. You have to, when you're introducing new characters, it's a given. If you don't want to lose people as you are would be want to, regardless, you got to get the groundwork done, foundation laid, and then you're good to go.
I just find the idea. I don't know, but going off of that and going over to
the next topic.
Well, actually, real quick, let's go back to the Robert Downey Jr. thing.
Okay.
What other actors, that have been synonymous with a role, like you associate them all the time with that, who else would you consider?
In general? Oh, boy.
Myself, obviously, the answer is Hugh Jackman, but in a lot of ways, I will always associate Harrison Ford with, Han Solo and Indiana Jones. And,
correct,
of course, that random president, in Air Force One. Get off my plane.
Well, right, exactly, yeah. Yeah, and that great role. And again, showing the multifacetedness of the character.
And his acting abilities, especially.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Now, the other one like that, too, and it's coming to mind, but it's not coming quick enough, is the Fugitive.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So if you get into significant but not as iconic. Exactly. Yeah. Well, that's a Tommy Lee Jones line, exactly. And Hugh Jackman comes to mind with that, too. But I guess he's done. And, from that trailer, maybe that's why I started growing a goatee again, because I saw how I'm like, okay, well, I'll let the salt and pepper show this time and see how long I can tolerate it. And winter's coming on and all that kind of stuff.
Winter is coming.
And yet Xavier also looking a little scraggly in the Logan trailer and so on. So, we'll see where that takes us.
I still, like I said, seeing the trailer on the big screen, and even though that was just the standard PG-13 trailer... Mm-hmm. Man, it was awesome seeing that up on the big screen.
Yeah.
And the Johnny Cash cover of Hurt,
Oh, okay.
Have you seen, by the way, the Red Band trailer of it?
No.
Where at one point he takes his claws, puts them underneath a guy's head he puts his fist under a guy's head and retracts the claws, or has the claws go through the guy's head.
No.
I'll send you a link to it, but... It's the...
You meant releases, right? Not retracts.
He releases. Sorry. He releases the claws and has them go
through
the guy's head.
Or just say snicked.
Yeah, he snicks them through the guy's head. And,
could you say Deadpool carved the way for that?
Oh, well, yeah, definitely.
We're taking out three guys at one bullet, the last one left or something.
Now, with Logan, I think, like, the idea, we're possibly going to see, X-23 take over for Wolverine and stuff like that. Because,
Maybe. Yeah.
It just bums me out because I want to still see Wolverine, in the films. I want to see Hugh Jackman. But I think it's a bummer that he's ending it at 9 films, I believe, if I remember correctly.
Is it? Okay.
He should have ended it at 10. Go double digits,
Go double digits.
Because how funny would
that be? You mean like seasons of TV shows like Smallville or I don't know?
Because When you think of the 90s, which the, upcoming X-Men movie...
90s, go ahead.
Yeah, well, the upcoming X-Men movie, after Apocalypse, why wouldn't you have the personification of the 90s Wolverine, be in that? Because he was definitely the personification of that era.
Okay, yeah. Because
when you think of, 90s comics, what do you normally think of? Wolverine, Spawn...
Okay, yeah, I can't pin it down because that's where I had phased out. In the Kitty Pryde sense.
Random question, but as a fan of, you know, the X-Men stuff, because I know your extensive X-Men collection, do you have the Frank Miller run?
Remind me when that time frame was, issues.
That was the 4-issue miniseries. Do you even have that one?
Good one. Good one. I think it's a possible 4-issue miniseries?
Yeah.
Drawing a blank.
And the one is like him on the cover. He has his claws out, and then the other hand, he has another hand like doing the "come here, bub." You know that.
Oh wait a minute, that was the '80s.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. That was the Japanese story that the Wolverine was based off of. Yes. Absolutely.
You even have that one?
The 4-issue miniseries. Yes. When it came out in the day. Yeah. Yeah.
Lucky. Lucky.
I think so. I think it was mostly unscathed from the flooding from 5 years ago.
And I know there's a certain book in there that makes me weep when you told me about that. Sitting in there, a certain appearance of a Wade Wilson. Oh, how that...
Oh, New Mutants 98?
Yeah, that makes me weep just hearing what happened to that book.
Yeah, some superficial damage where it's kind of wavy in its condition, but it still might fetch a nice...
What I've always found funny is the fact that, you know, that book has so many copies out. I think it's like not a million, but close to a million copies printed.
Okay.
And yet it still commands such a high price. I know because of the demand, but...
Possibly, or popularity...
And yet, look at, you know, Death of Superman. That's still a dollar book. I don't get it. And we'll be discussing that later on in the show.
I don't know. Yeah.
But, you know, now going away from, you know, that stuff from before, Charlie Cox went on saying that Marvel can kill off any character at any moment.
Well, is he wrong?
He's not wrong, as evident with Quicksilver, especially.
Yeah.
Oh, you didn't see that coming?
You didn't see that coming, yeah. Seeing that happen, you realize what happened from Ultron, and yet he's just there with that look on his face. His eyes are open. Hawkeye talks to him as if he's still breathing, and so I don't know.
I mean, I could see them actually killing off some characters in the Netflix series, important characters. Personally, the one I see happening is Karen Page.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And as it was announced at New York Comic Con, she's actually going to be in the Punisher series that's coming out.
Is that going to be another Netflix?
Mm-hmm.
Look at that. Okay.
And they announced with the Punisher series that's been filming. They've been keeping it on the down low, but it's been filming like the past few months. Like they said, yeah, we kind of, you know, have been keeping the secret, but just let you know.
Well, is that the next one that's due up once we get done with Luke Cage?
I think. Or no, Iron Fist. I think that's going to be...
Iron Fist.
Because Iron Fist is next, and they literally, at New York Comic Con, they literally wrapped it up the day before that panel.
Well, where now does the Defenders come in?
Defenders, I know, is going to be next year.
For which way? Also Netflix?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because Netflix is Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, Luke Cage, Daredevil, and The Punisher.
Okay, then you got to get them all in before you come out with the group. Okay.
I still think, are they going to make any other series after The Defenders? Like, not, you know, obviously they're going to do Jessica Jones season 2, but what I mean is, are we going to see, you know, other characters get Netflix series? Like, is it going to be a new wave?
I don't know.
You know, like myself, I'm a big Moon Knight fan. I want to see Moon Knight. I will still champion that.
Okay.
And the funniest thing is, if they were going to do a Q&A at the Marvel panel, which they didn't do, which disappointed me, because I was surprised like they didn't do that, I was going to ask, I love everything that you guys have done so far, but one question I want to know is, down the line, will we see one character, Ghost Rider? Or not Ghost Rider, sorry, because I always associate you with Ghost Rider.
Okay.
Moon Knight.
Moon Knight, yeah.
And, you know, actually, our producer of the show, Matt, he said, you really shouldn't ask that because, you know, they're here for their shows. Why would you ask about something else? So I'm like, I still want to know. I still want to know, Eddie. I still want to know.
I understand. Yeah, it's tough. There's so many that are out there, and you don't know what people are thinking and that stuff. But, again, this group now that are assembling or putting together to be the Defenders, a departure from... the comic book characters, like who was the leader, Nighthawk, as one of them, and the Valkyrie was a defender also,
and Howard the Duck was a member.
Oh, jeez, okay, maybe a little later than I thought. So Hulk was a defender.
Doctor Strange,
Submariner, I believe.
I think Josh Rosengrant was as well. There's a big possibility.
Josh Rosenkrantz.
There's a big possibility he was a member of the Defenders at one point.
Oh, Jesus.
I'll never forget that run. Or maybe a stumble. We don't know.
It could have been a stumble, like a bump in the road, like a speed hump kind of thing.
Now I just want to imagine Josh joined the Marvel Cinematic Universe. I think that'd be great. Anyway.
Do we need a moment of silence for that?
R.I.P. the Marvel Universe.
No.
It went out with a whimper. But yeah, now going away from Marvel and going over to the distinguished competition, DC, they just announced today that Greg Grunberg, the guy who was in Star Wars, The Force Awakens, he was also in the newer Star Trek films.
Okay.
And he's also one of the major people in the show Heroes and Lost. He's going to be on The Flash. Flash.
As you so well put, yes.
So he's going to be playing the role of a cop, and apparently a very important cop in Central City, which is kind of cool, you know, seeing that. I love Greg Grunberg, you know, the long-lost brother, friend of the show, Mitch Halleck, you know.
Oh, yeah.
The man in charge of Terrificon, Terrific Comic-Con in Uncasville, Connecticut at the Mohegan Sun Casino, August 2018.
Just get 17 early. Okay, let's not get too far ahead. You know, you sounded like he's the important cop in The Flash in Central City, which kind of reminded me of the important cop in Gotham, which was Michael Chiklis, the Thing.
I thought you were going to say Commissioner Gordon for a second. Like, he is pretty important.
You know, well, right. But I just had to think of...
How has Gotham been this season?
Again, needs to be caught up, but the Rise of the Villains I thought was very good, and I guess Wrath is what's up next. So
right,
I think it's held its own pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited, you know, to give it a chance eventually. You know, I think I fell off like most of season two, so I still got to, you know, catch up on it.
Yeah,
but I mean, nothing really compared to season one, but season one was okay. So yeah, that was a thing.
It must be doing moderately well for it to perpetuate now what it's up to and
it's
stuff.
It's Batman too, especially, you know, anything with Batman on the tin will, you know, garner a buy or garner a viewing, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So,
but now, you know, with Grunberg, I just think, you know, you know him more for his role for Heroes. What did you, you know,
do.
What do you think of, you know, him getting cast in the show? He's going to be on the next episode, Killer Frost.
Oh, we're going to manifest that character now, I guess.
Yeah, and it's gonna
be maybe more so now than was previously done. From what I remember, you know, seeing in the alternate Earth.
Yeah.
But I like the character.
Right.
I first got to know him, of course, from Heroes. Yes, I watched all four seasons. And even him having the role in on kind of the other side, the opposite side of the fence, in Heroes Reborn. And then again, you know, having seen him as a surprise in Star Wars Force Awakens. So I think he's got some chops. And, you know, looking forward to that.
And the thing about, you know, him doing this, he's going to be in there because he's also friends with the director of this upcoming episode of The Flash, trustworthy Kev Smith.
Okay.
This is going to be his return episode directing on The Flash. And, you know, it makes sense because also they both do the TV show for AMC, Geeking Out. So.
Gotcha.
I think it's, you know, a smart casting choice. Bring him in, you know, obviously it's a friend, but, you know. A, you know, well-proven actor. He's, you know, a fantastic actor.
Yeah.
So now, going away from that and going over to...
This month?
Yeah. This month, speaking of DC, marks the 24th anniversary of the death of Superman.
24 years.
Now, Eddie, you were... I believe that was when you were slowly getting out of the comic buying, I believe? Like the early 90s?
Early 90s, we're getting out. And again, very limited on the DC stuff that I had. So since that time, I think when, you know, the death anniversary came out, whether it was white bagged or black bagged, sealed, the
teal bag, see-through bag,
or hermetically sealed, whatever, anything sort of CGC. Yeah, I got one.
I got
a copy of whatever, just to have it kind of thing. And then later filling in the gaps in the issues and stuff. But yeah, I was getting out, and mostly it was Marvel, but just tapering down.
For you, what are like some memorable, you know, death issues? Like, you know, a death of a character.
One that first comes to mind that I think I first ever encountered, other than the classic, so to speak, Spider-Man death of Gwen Stacy, Captain Stacy, that you just, you know, happened in the course of time of an evolution of that storyline and so on. The first Marvel graphic novel that I think came out or that I owned, the death of Captain Marvel.
Right.
Yeah. Jim Starlin.
Starlin rules. I love
Yeah, and to succumb to the most basic and whoever thought this was coming could actually possibly happen to. I mean, he's a interstellar, otherworldly superhero for crying out loud. Cancer?
Yeah.
Was just so out of the box from,
spoilers,
from that
Eddie,
time.
Spoilers.
This is 1981 or so we're talking about.
Spoilers,
on,
Eddie.
35 years ago. So to have that happen, it just mind-blowing kind of thing. And so that's the first, you know, character kill that I'm familiar with and that was really of significance. You know, the whole Superman thing and you know, Batman v Superman, colon, Dawn of Justice. There's a thing.
We owe a check
again,
for
there,
movies for that because I blatantly stole that from those guys.
You know, and but, you know, coming back, and but again, you know, the adage comes back about nobody, at least in the Marvel Universe, stays dead except Uncle Ben, and I forgot if there was another, a second one, but yeah, but that one, Captain Marvel, is the first one that immediately comes to mind.
For me, the one, and I actually bought double copies because I wanted to sell one, but also because I want one to keep because I hate this character so much, was the death of Damian Wayne, Batman's son.
Because
I hate that character so much. And if you go back to the Audibly Exquisite archives on audiblyexquisite.com, listen, I believe the first or second episode, I go into full-blown rant about how much I hate that kid. That is the most annoying character in comic book history.
Catch me up from what time period that was.
This is now.
Oh.
He is the most annoying character of all time. I cannot stand him. He's a little turd. I can't stand that kid.
Just a little one. Okay, good.
Oh, man, oh, man.
If he was big, he'd be really stinky and stuff, too.
Well, I know when I went to go to the premiere of Batman Bad Blood, he was in there. I'm like, man, I get to go to a Batman movie for free in New York City. Oh, wait, it's got Damian friggin' Wayne in it. So, yeah.
They just wanted to fill the seats. That's why you have that great admission price.
Yep. So.
Okay. Well, 24 years, Superman, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like, honestly, that's one of those storylines I will never forget, and like that is my favorite Superman story of all time, the death and return of.
Okay, so popular in terms of people reading it, knowing it and stuff, unfortunately over flooding the market with copies of it and so on, but as far as the storyline itself, it held muster, held up well.
I mean, Eddie, you have a copy, and you know, like, it's a multi-million dollar copy, you know what I mean? Like, you could sell it off and just, like, you know, pay off, you know, a mortgage, a boat. You could pay for anything with those books. No. It is practically worthless comic in a lot
of ways. It's a multi-million printed copy.
Yep.
Not the dollars part of it went away.
And
I was going to say, even in the comic-related documentary-type shows that have been done, and they freely admit, the writers, the artists, that they, you know, greed took really, really two-fisted hold, and flooding the market with that was just a bad thing to do.
I know if you check out the Superman Doomsday animated movie, there's a documentary about the Death of Superman comic.
Okay, yeah.
And they talk to, like, everybody involved. Like, I highly recommend checking that out. It's a really, really great documentary.
And on the other side of things, and I've mentioned on previous appearances on Audibly Exquisite, that when the mid to late 90s time period came around, at least for Marvel, maybe it was with DC also, the market was really in the tank, not doing well. So
everything
limited,
had to be extreme.
A limited amount of issues were made. So maybe you got a 500 issue run. I mean, I don't know if that was across the whole country, but you know, now you want to try and find some things, you can't. The higher number issues of Star Wars from the 70s that Marvel put out. So, you know, issues 106, 107, the hard-to-find ones, not a big run. I think the first run of Howard the Duck, maybe the first issue, another tough one. And the 93rd issue of Ghost Rider, Volume 2, the Danny Ketch one, a tough one to come across. So I don't think they're doing it anymore. You know, it's not like the dip in the market that happened, what, after wartime and comic book companies turning to romance and horror and war, although war is still, I think, popular for comics to find. And
especially with, like, writers like Garth Ennis and people like that.
Yep.
But, yeah, you know, now going away from that, but, like, speaking of, like, you know, a very popular 90s comic, you know, Bone by Jeff Smith, like, it's a major, major, you know, book in the realm of fantasy and also just, like, when I was growing up as a kid, you know, go to elementary school, like they would have the book fairs. That was one of the books they would always have sitting in there.
Okay.
And, you know, the Scholastic book fairs and stuff like that. And the funniest thing is it's been a film, it's been a comic they've been wanting to make into a film for like the past, I would say, 20-something years.
Hmm.
And at one point they were actually going to make a movie of it. And they were saying, oh, if we do this movie, what we're going to do is we're going to have, like, you know, pop songs in there. It was going to be Nickelodeon was going to be the one distributing this. And it was going to have, like, pop songs, like a random Britney Spears song, or get the, you know, hot artists out or whatever. And the creator of it, Jeff Smith, went on saying, oh, so you do you have that in Star Wars? Do you have, like, the latest, you know, pop song in that? Or do you have the latest pop song in, you know, Lord of the Rings? No, this is kind of, it's a cartoonish fantasy comic, but it's still got, like, seriousness to it. Why would you wouldn't have that in that, so why would you have it in this? So now they're saying it's back on the table, and it may be directed as a CGI film directed by the director of Kung Fu Panda, Mark Osborne. He's going to be directing that. I like Kung Fu Panda. I thought, you know, those movies were funny. I'm just interested in seeing what's, you know, how they can handle this, because it is a big, big comic. And, you know, I've told you, I'll let you borrow my copy, but forewarned you, it's over 1,000 pages. I ended up getting the gigantic one, and it's literally this big. It's bigger than a phone book.
Wow. Yeah, the old style long, big phone book that you could stand on to reach a higher upper cabinet shelf or something, yeah.
My phone book is about, the bone book probably covers, you know, Canada and North America in terms of, you know.
I don't think they make those phone books like that anymore because.
Probably not.
It's not cost effective anymore. And for other electronic reasons, probably.
But yeah, like I think the idea of animated adaptation of this would be perfect. Don't do like, you know, a live action with CGI because it wouldn't work. Just make a completely CGI movie. You know
what made the Kung Fu Panda movie so good? I think they would... Three of those, right?
Yeah, they
okay.
are.
Okay, I thought it was some of the animation and stuff that was not cutting edge, but maybe a little bit different than what had been done prior.
The writing was good. You know, it was a really funny film. It works for what it is. But, you know, just the idea of seeing... We're at that level of comics where, like, a lot of stuff is happening. Some stuff is, you know, getting shelved, kind of, but not really, like, you know, in humans. It's getting shelved, but not really.
Yeah.
And then you have, you know, things like, you know, Sandman. Sandman's getting put on hiatus again for like the 80th time.
Oh, really? Okay.
Why the Last Man is happening as a TV show. They just got a showrunner. So it may happen. It might not. Just it's a weird time to be a fan of comics in the sense that everything is getting adapted. Everything's getting turned into like, you know, a live action portrayal or a TV portrayal, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's working in some respects and not maybe in others. They're finding out. So... You know, it's probably better or worth it to say, let's take a chance. And if it fails, then we know, maybe learn from that one.
Well, my thing is that I find really interesting is we have, what's his name? You know, with Arrow, Vigilante is on there now. He just debuted this week.
No
complete
kidding.
With the motorcycle helmet.
Okay.
Vigilante, you have Wild Dog. Characters, again, you wouldn't expect to see. Wild Dog is like a really, really, really obscure character that I... If you told me if you gave me a lineup of all different characters and you said pick Wild Dog from there, I would not be able to.
Yeah.
But now I can because, you know, hey, I understand it. You know, okay. I've seen, like, you know, gotten used to the character hearing about the announcement. So, of course, I'm that guy. I tracked down a copy immediately of his first appearance.
Yeah, right, exactly.
For $1, which is nice. I'll buy that for $1. But, you know... I don't know. It's a weird thing. And I actually liked apparently hearing in his first appearance on Arrow, he's wearing a hockey mask, his character.
Mm-hmm.
And Stephen Amell's Oliver Queen, he says back, somebody goes and says, oh, that costume's terrible. That's a terrible costume. And Oliver Queen says, I like the hockey mask. I think the hockey mask is kind of cool. The reason being is in Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows, my number 3 pick for best movie of comic books this year, he is the one who plays Casey Jones. A vigilante with a hockey mask. So, kind of dig seeing writing like that. But yeah, just the idea of just seeing these characters get brought to these, you know, the big screen is weird and cool at the same time.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a mix. You don't know how to react maybe to it or how to feel about it.
It's like, it's one of those Stranger Things. And, you know, speaking of Stranger Things, Millie Bobby Brown of Stranger Things, the girl who plays Eleven, she's saying she wants to play a young Princess Leia in a Star Wars spinoff film.
Well, okay, not being familiar, but, you know, that might be a possibility.
It I still think, though, like, this is really her only big role, Stranger Things. Like, we got to, you know, go, what else can she do? You know what
I
mean?
Well, this is a good springboard, then, for her to launch into, otherwise she might not have a leg to stand on.
True, true. I mean, have you seen Stranger Things at all, Eddie?
No.
I highly recommend checking it out. It is, sure, people will overhype it, but if you're a fan of, you know, 1970s, 1980s, you know, movies like Goonies and stuff like that, or like Close Encounters of the Third Kind, or like 80s horror movies, highly recommend checking it out.
I was an 80s horror fan movies, but I don't know how much I'd sit through them, you know, now.
Well, it's more like in terms of like 80s, like with the practical special effects.
Okay.
So it's like, it's kind of like that. Like at one point, do you remember in Nightmare on Elm Street where it was the ceiling and they were coming through the ceiling or whatever?
Yeah,
like the,
I think so. Okay.
Like making the wall feel like it was like made of like rubber or something.
Yeah. Yep.
They do that in one scene with Will, the kid Will, who gets put into the Upside Down.
Oh, okay.
So they incorporate stuff like practical special effects like that, and it's absolutely insane to see that in something nowadays, you know?
Well, the special effects are what we, I don't think, touched on when we brought up Doctor Strange.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah, I mean, with Doctor Strange, the special effects for that were, I said in our spoiler-free review, I guess, now the film's been out for 2-3 weeks now.
Yeah.
We can talk a little bit more about it. Just the level of how insane it was, you know, with that. I liked it. I liked, you know, from a visual standpoint, it was a gorgeous film. And
yeah, I think so. The landscape, but the changing, the special effects part, and recommended to see, I heard from more than one source, see it in 3D.
Yeah.
Worth the extra couple of bucks, whatever, for that. Not a in-your-face projectile thing, 3D, but just to see the changing landscape and so on like that. And I guess it reminded me, in a way, and not being up on this either, what's done with Harry Potter, with the landscape changes and that kind of stuff. But just rolling like a hill, like a wave sort of, the buildings, the sides of it, you know, and warping out, that kind of incorporates or makes it get a review of it being a trippy kind of thing, film, irrespective of referencing what year, what time frame it's set in, that kind of stuff. So not over-the-top 3D. That would be, I mean, I know the technology is better, so it's more, you know, tolerable or palatable, because I was not too good with watching 3D. It just wasn't my thing.
Right.
But this, yeah, definitely would worth, you know, and you almost, in some respects, don't even think it is, you know, you don't realize, hey, this is in 3D or whatever. So it was good.
My thing, again, I said before, is I'm just burnt out on origin movies, but, and somebody actually said this on Reddit, it was the best comment about the whole film. Doctor Strange is the best don't text and drive commercial of all time.
Poster child. Yeah.
So,
If you got anything else out of it, that was it too. And from other characters, you know, he's got such a smattering, maybe even more that of Tony Stark.
But then again, you do realize maybe if you text and drive, you can, you know, that happens and you can become a Sorcerer Supreme yourself. You never know. You don't want to do it, though.
You don't want to do it, no. Not for what
the medical bills aren't worth it alone. So,
no.
But yeah, I mean, I think overall, Doctor Strange was definitely a good film, but in the middle of everything in terms of the overall Marvel Cinematic Universe, you know, going from Iron Man to, you know, now Doctor Strange. Just, it was literally an in-the-middle film.
Which is kind of funny that I didn't realize the connection with it. It started with the first Iron Man movie, and here's your character now who's got that, generally speaking, you know, attitude and being all that and bag of chips kind of thing, that he's better than everybody in what he does, and, you know, you can't tell him otherwise.
Right.
Yeah.
And now, before we go for today's episode, the final topic, before we get to that, what we want to talk about is the ability to go on www.audibletrial.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
Yes, you'll be able to get a free audiobook of your choosing, and you will be able to get it for free with the promo, or with the URL www.audibletrial.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And you'll be able to get from thousands upon thousands of audiobooks of your choosing. Yes, your choosing. And you can cancel at any time. Myself, I have been having read to me the audiobook of Tough Guys Don't Dance. Eddie, yourself?
Yeah, pass. Out of my area.
Wait, are we playing Uno now? Did you throw that card back to me?
I did. I did. Nothing physically involved, Gambit or otherwise. Card.
It happens. So now, once again, go to www.audibletrial.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And get a free audiobook of your choosing. Cancel at any time. And it helps support the show. And also, once again, go to www.patreon.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And choose from a wide variety of tiered options to help support the show. Yes.
Dang, damn it.
96 tiers.
Just threw that one. Oh, question mark in the Mysterians.
There we go.
Yowza.
I had to try
to stump the radio music man. Okay.
So now our final topic of today. Speaking of Princess Leia from our earlier topic, Carrie Fisher revealed that herself and Harrison Ford had an affair for 3 months in the 1970s on the set of Star Wars.
Good for them.
I find it really funny, and do you think George Lucas was kind of trolling them like halfway through, you know, hey, you know, it'd be really funny, have them have a romantic love interest in the actual movie.
Yeah. What, this got captured on some kind of celluloid or whatever?
Like, do you think like he found out, oh, they're having an affair with each other? Huh. I know who I'm going to write in the film now. I know who's going to fall in love with each other.
Well, if it was there, I wonder if they got any kind of royalties for helping with the plot idea. But you know what? It happened then. Okay, fine. You know, and it actually is fuel for her book to sell.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if she's had anything before that. I don't know that I'm going to go get this. But okay, you know, people feed on this and that's good. So,
and actually, if you want to check out the book, I imagine there's going to be an audiobook version of it. Go to www.audibletrial.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And get it there. So, but yeah, and also speaking of, you know, Harrison Ford, he also, what's his name? The guy who's going to be playing him, Alden Ehrenreich, he actually has not even met Harrison Ford yet in preparation for the Han Solo film that they're doing.
No, he's just got to do his research. That's more important than meeting the man himself.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it'll happen, I would say, but
I just want to, you know, I wonder how he's going to do in the role. How do you, you know, overall?
Fine.
I hope so.
He was chosen for a reason.
He doesn't look the part, though. He doesn't look like a young Harrison Ford to me.
Well, sometimes it, you know, appearances are deceiving. Just trying to think of, you know, Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones, the young Indiana Jones character. Did he look?
Are you talking about the show, The Young Indiana Jones?
No, just in one of the Raiders movies,
right?
Probably Last Crusade when you saw a younger version, that kind of thing.
I will also say my favorite example of a younger version of a character not looking like the older version is still young Frank Dukes in the movie Bloodsport, where he does not look at all like older Jean-Claude Van Damme. It is one of the funniest, like the worst casting choices that somehow managed to become one of the best. So now, once again,
Logan as a boy,
blonde kid. Just throw a blonde kid in there.
Well, he wasn't.
So now, before we go, once again, you can find us on a wide variety of social media platforms. But before we get into those social media platforms, go to www.gunnageek.com, and you can find a wide variety of geeky goodness for your ear holes. Also, once again, patreon.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And you'll be able to find a wide variety of ways to help support this here fine program. And also, go to facebook.com/audibly.
Exquisite.
And like us on there. Like us, please. Like us. We want to be liked. Go on Twitter.
I want you to like me.
Exactly. Go on Twitter, find us at the AE Podcast, myself at Peter Melnick, at Mike_Norin, and yourself, Mr. Wilson,
EWilson959.
Very cool. Also, Instagram at Audibly.
Exquisite.
And you can find us on the worldwide interwebs at
www.audibly.com.
And finally, wide variety of ways to listen to this fine program. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher Radio, Podomatic, available for all iOS and Android devices. And don't forget to spread the word like Nutella and just tell people about this show. And rate, review, subscribe, and share on iTunes.
You tell her, he tell her, she tell her.
Exactly.
Nutella.
Maybe like a little game of Nutellaphone.
Oof.
So, yeah, even I'm not proud of that one.
Bring me the knife. Bring me the big knife.
So for Peter Melnick, I'm Peter Melnick.
I'm Eddie Wilson.
Have an audibly
exquisite
week.